Outrageous Universes. That seems to be the theme of today's Lehigh Valley Art Salon, and we hope, oh no, no, we know that we will get you caught up in the excitement. In Pennsylvania Youth Theater's production of The Hobbit, the famous Bilbo sets off as chief robber in an attempt to recover an important treasure demanded on by the great wizard Gandalf. Alec Fogelgesang, also known as Bilbo, and Sophie Kitch-Peck, who is Thorin, join Jill Dunn, artistic director of Pennsylvania Youth Theater, and uncover this great adventure, directed by Mary White. And in the second portion of Lehigh Valley Art Salon, Josh Neth, the Allentown Public Theater artistic director and director, joins actor Samantha Beadle, and they venture into a realm of supreme beings. Angels, if you will. As they plan the beginning of the world with the relish of two slightly sadistic suburban wives decorating a living room. Two worlds, two superb theater companies, and their visionaries join us right here, right now, on Lehigh Valley Art Salon. I remain George Miller, and along with my co-host and wife, Kate Scuffle, we again take you one step beyond in the world of theater. This remains to be WDIY 88.1 Allentown and HD. We welcome you, and welcome everyone.
Hi.
It's a full studio.
This is exciting. We have a full studio. Steve Aronson's even here. Of course, he must be because he's our engineer. This is really exciting to know that The Hobbit is happening. It's happening in my mind. It's happening when I was a kid reading it. And now it's happening live on stage, and I've got to get to see it. Are you having fun?
Yeah.
Yes, it's actually a lot of fun because it's... For me, it's my third to last year at BYT, and it's one of my favorite books of all time, so I get to put it on stage.
Excellent. Excellent. And Jill, this is an excellent opportunity for young people. I understand that there are about 20 or more young people in the production.
There's about, I think, 50 altogether.
Sounds about right, yeah.
Yeah, about 50 kids. We have two casts. So Sophie and Alex are in one cast, and then we have a whole group of other kids that are in another cast. Mm.
Well, what a great 27th year of PYT show.
And what are the names of the two casts in honor of the book?
There and Back Again,
which is the subtitle of the actual book, The Hobbit.
Sure.
Okay.
And you've been in rehearsal since you were saying the end of January, right? I mean, this is a big undertaking.
Yeah.
They
started the read-through at the end of January, and they've been rehearsing ever since. Okay. Weekday rehearsals and weekend rehearsals, and right now they're starting their tech rehearsal.
That's right, because you open Friday.
Yeah.
Friday, 7 o'clock, the Ice House.
Yes, very much. This is the week that it all comes together, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's exciting for you as an actor, I'm sure, to see it all happening.
We were talking a little bit earlier, too. There's all kinds of elements now. You were talking about swordplay and a fight choreographer.
Yeah, there's a scene where we're in the cave with where the goblins are, and we get attacked by the goblins because we've, quote-unquote, intruded on their territory.
Ah.
So I get into this big broadsword fight with the great goblin, and there's some punching and kicking that goes on with all the other dwarves and goblins, and he gets to trip someone.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Exactly what is a hobbit? I met one at a bank once. And was, what is really a hobbit? Oh, they're just little creatures of the underworld. No, the middle world.
Well, they're they're smaller than dwarves, but and their feet are kind of like shoes.
Oh.
So. Mm.
They have hairy feet.
Yeah.
Hairy feet.
I have a line where I toast that the hair on his toes will never fall out.
Very good. Very good. And, of course, that, as we all know, that they are, this particular piece is a part of the Ring stories, the Ring of Tolkien.
This is the first story in the Ring stories.
It was written first, I think, and then people wanted more from Tolkien, so he wrote The Lord of the Rings as a continuation of what happened to the ring that Bilbo got from Gollum.
And you're saying that this is the approved script by Tolkien himself?
Mm-hmm. Yes. It's the only version, I think.
Okay. We'll credit the playwright as Patricia Gray, but it is adapted from Tolkien's book.
It is.
Yeah. Right. And Mary Wright, who is directing, who's actually in rehearsal right now, and could be with us. You mentioned that she's added a special touch, though, by introducing the author into this production.
Yes, she's added the role of Tolkien as a character, and he sort of narrates and fills in chunks that aren't in the show, because there's so many adventures in The Hobbit, you can't include all of them.
Yeah.
So a lot of the more minor ones got cut. So he has these amazing monologues that Mary wrote about what's going on, where he has one where he's like, where he says, I think it's something along the lines of, they went on to do this and this and this, and you can read more about that in chapters 6, 7, and 8.
To keep you enthralled.
Sure. Now, let's talk a little bit about, the two of you have kind of a different experience with, you've been with PYT a really long time. What, 10 years now?
10 years, yes. Yeah. This is my 10th year.
Yeah, this is Sophie's 10th. Yeah, right.
Yeah, yeah.
Sometimes we have to identify, you know,
the voices,
because people don't actually see us.
But on the other hand, you're fairly new with the Happy Elf.
Yeah, the Happy Elf was my first show at PYT. So I was pretty excited when I got the part of Bilbo in The Hobbit.
I'm sure you must have been, but you come from an entertaining family as it is. Would you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, my parents were clowns in the circus.
Okay.
So we've done a lot of theater and stuff, so.
Yeah, Alex says in the circus. He means in the circus.
Literally. Barnum Bailey.
Yeah.
Alex is also quite a dancer, too.
That's right.
He takes dance classes with PYT.
Right.
But he also performed for a long time with PYB. Is that correct?
Correct.
With the ballet.
Mm-hmm.
And your parents are going to be working with PYT this summer with one of the camps?
We're doing a camp, a comedy and clowning camp, and his family is going to be running that camp. So
that's wonderful.
It'll be in the middle of the summer. It's going to be really exciting for us.
Wow. Wow.
And of course, we know Sophie's family, too, of course.
A theater
Jim
family.
Beck, the head of the department at Muhlenberg Theater Department.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And his wife. So you both come from very talented families. have to live up to what they're.
I wouldn't say live up.
Sophie's created the standard.
I would say my younger sister has to live up to what I've done.
Okay.
But I wouldn't say that I'm trying to live up to my parents, because as my dad is more of a director than an actor as of late. And I, despite what I've done in Jill's classes with creating our own pieces, I've been on the stage for 10 years now, and I don't want to stop.
Great. Good for you. It never stops, even when you're my age.
Well, it's interesting. I mean, PYT, when we were before we came on the air tonight, we were talking with the actors and the folks that will be joining us after the break from Allentown Public Theater. And Sam Beadle was a graduate of PYT, people working with PYT as teachers who are performing with Allentown Public Theater. I mean, it's just, I think it's wonderful that it's got such connections to the community and to the performing arts community in the Valley now. 27 years, it's like you've created this whole alumni, folks who are still working, who are doing it, who are creating.
Yeah, we have several students who have come back to teach at camps. I am an alum of PYT.
That's right.
We have several of our other teachers are also PYT alum who were at PYT in the 90s, early 90s.
Yeah.
And it's great. We're trying really hard in looking forward to find ways to collaborate more with the community and ways for our kids to get more opportunities in other venues. So we're working at making those connections.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm very curious, actually, Bilbo, to tell you the truth of why Gandalf chose you, of course, to be part of this adventure, this fabulous adventure. Isn't there a moment there where you hesitated and said, wait a minute, Gandalf, I'm not the person to do this? Is there?
Yes.
Yes.
I actually have to threaten him to get him to come along.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
Implied threatening, not literal threatening.
Not literal, not that. Okay. Very good, very good.
And there's only one adult in this performance, right? This is really the showcase for the
Jack
students,
Armstrong.
This production.
Yes.
Yeah.
Is our single adult.
Gandalf.
Yes,
okay.
He is. And it's very student-driven.
It was exciting to hear about the costuming, too. Jill, could you tell us a little bit about that?
One of our parents, Deb Cerniglia, had volunteered her time to be the costume designer for this. And she'd worked on many, many of our productions with Bill Bauman and has decided to take this on herself.
So this is her debut.
So this is her debut as costume designer, and she's doing an amazing job, wouldn't you say, guys?
Mm. Yes.
Yeah.
I know that they were trying very, she and Mary were trying very hard to collaborate to make the costumes a lot like the original drawings that Tolkien had in The Hobbit. And I can say, because I had my costume on yesterday when we were doing lighting, that it is black and silver, and I look like a dwarven warrior crossed with a motorcyclist.
But most of the costumes are pretty cool.
Yeah.
But with amazing effect.
And you'll be really, one of the elements that starts to come in this week. Getting everyone dressed.
The lights, the clarifying. Sound, the set, the costumes. And Mary's a costumer herself for years and years and years. She's costumed for tons of stuff. So we're really lucky. we're really grateful to have her on board with us.
And you'll be at the Ice House, of course?
We are. Yes. The show opens this Friday, the 15th, 7 o'clock, and it runs until Sunday, March 24th.
Okay.
And we have Saturday and Sunday 1 and 4 p.m. shows, and Fridays are 7 p.m. And we have school productions as well
for the local
schools.
Yeah.
So we're trying to really appeal to the community, schools and our public.
Wonderful. Wonderful job. Did Jill incidentally mention something that's upcoming from Pennsylvania Youth Theater?
We do. After we close The Hobbit in May, we open The Musical Adventures of Flat Stanley, and that's being directed by Bill Mutimer and choreographed by Denise Binder, one of our teachers. And Rosemary Haber is coming on to music direct, and that opens in May 3rd.
Okay.
And then we have our summer camps opening at the second week in June.
All right.
We have camp all summer. So
a lot more happening at Pennsylvania.
A lot more, and we already have our next season picked out, so we have a lot coming up.
Can you share the season?
We do. We have our holiday show in December is Shrek.
Oh, right.
And then we're doing Winnie the Pooh.
Okay.
And then we are doing Big River.
Ooh.
Very good. Very good. Well, I had a whole bunch of things that I wanted to ask you. Like, what's the greatest scene? And somebody mentioned the fight scene, right?
There was another scene.
What was it?
The smog scene.
Oh, yes.
The smog.
It's pretty cool.
Explain who smog is.
They made a puppet, and there's also a girl playing Smog as the voice, and they're gonna modify, she'll have a modified microphone to make it really cool, and it's really cool.
Smog is the dragon.
I saw the picture. It looks gorgeous.
Yeah, it's much better in real life because some of the older actors who are only really in the first act, they get to manipulate Smog, so they got something else to do as well.
It sounds absolutely great, and we are excited about it, and we are going to get there to see you, so then maybe you can wave to us after the show is over. Thank you, Alex. Thank you, Sophie, and so much to you. Thanks, Jill Dunn, Artistic Director of Pennsylvania Youth Theater. Upcoming, when we continue, we are going to whisk you through another outrageous universe where Samantha Beadle and Josh Neth take you on a quest to find parity and love in the world of capricious gods. Goddesses. We'll be back again in the glint of a magician's eye right after this salient message.
WDIY is pleased to partner with the Zollner Arts Center featuring the Lehigh University Choir, Dolce, and Glee Club, presenting Hot Dates on Friday, March 22nd and Saturday, March 23rd at 8 p.m. For information, 610-758-2787 or zollnerartcenter.org. For program support on WDIY, we thank Monarch Dance Company and the Lehigh Valley Dance Exchange, presenting Spring Up, a concert featuring established artists from New York, Pittsburgh, and the Lehigh Valley, including Nicholas Leichter, Anne Maria Mazzini, and Tabitha Robinson Scott, Friday, March 22nd, 7:30 p.m. at Northampton Community College. Supported in part by the Pennsylvania Council on the Arts via a PPA grant administered through the Lehigh Valley Arts Council. For tickets, lvdanceexchange.org.
We are, of course, talking about outrageous universes, and WDIY is the place to hear it. So we're glad you're here. We are really an outrageous universe in a way. We are not in a world of our own, but because of you, the listener, we can share the greatness of Lehigh Valley Arts here at Lehigh Valley Arts Salon. Our guest now is Josh Neth, who is the Artistic Director of the Allentown Public Theater, the creator of it, and also the director of this current show. He's joining today Samantha Beadle, who is going to talk to us about supreme beings of another kind in their production of Parallel Lives.
Dun, dun, dun. Dun,
dun, dun. Good evening, George. Good evening, Kate. Thanks for having us back again.
You're welcome. Hi, guys. Now, the authors, I think the audience would also know the creators of this piece, I would hope.
Mm-hmm.
You know, tell us a little bit about them and about the piece.
Why don't you go? You have Sam start?
Okay.
Kathy Najimy and Mo Gaffney are really, really hilarious women in the funny world of show business.
Uh-huh.
And they wrote this play together. And they have created these worlds that these characters live in. And there's about 30 different characters. But there's only two women playing each of these characters.
Right.
So it's a pretty, it's a whirlwind of parallel lives, I guess.
And it literally starts out with us getting to watch these two women create the world.
Yes.
And then move from there.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes be a little bit regretful about their creations.
Yeah.
For example, I think it's like afraid that women will have too many advantages, the beings decide to make childbirth painful.
Yeah. Oh, well, what did the male get? I don't know.
But more than that, to give men enormous egos as compensation, like they had to do that.
We want to make sure everything's even.
Right. Somebody mentioned that it was a romp with feminist sensibility, is that right?
Yeah.
Is it really?
It is.
Very good.
Yeah. It'd be very much their style of humor.
Yeah, two women, I mean, you can't really get around that. But,
but sometimes you're not always women, are you?
No. No, I would say it's kind of situational comedy, but it's, I would say, mostly told through kind of a female perspective. It's, you know, a lot of things that kind of come up in female lives, but it's you see the other side. You see the female perspective of the male's view, if you will. And it's very fun. It's a lot of fun.
And who's the other actress?
Jen Foley.
Okay.
Oh, of course.
And she's actually from Philadelphia. She's a DeSales graduate, and she lives in Philadelphia, and she makes the commute up, and she's delightful. She's really talented and a really great scene partner. She brings a lot to the table.
She's really the creator of two other shows that was done at Allentown Public Theater.
No, that's your thing.
Oh, that's Jen Santos.
Jen Santos.
She is a delight as well.
See, I'm getting my Jens mixed up.
Different
Jen.
I'll
be calling you a Pennsylvania Youth Theater before the
mm-hmm. Now, the other interesting. Now, I didn't see the Christmas show. I admit, but you're performing at the
Salemi
Gallery Foundation Gallery, and I hadn't seen the Christmas show there. But it seems to me, I was saying to Sam earlier, having been in the gallery, I've often thought this would be a great place to perform. So I'm envious. How's it feel?
It's fantastic. The foundation has been extremely kind to us, and it's a very intimate space. It's a space where we get to be very close to our audience and really get to feed off the energy that the audience is throwing back, which is a lot of fun in productions like this, where a lot of it is kind of dependent upon this mutual energy that's being shared between the actors on stage and the audience. So it's a smaller space. So we typically, things that we put into that space are more minimal shows. So the set is really just a couple of door flats and a center flat with an image that, can become a bed and some other things. And, but it's kind of nice for us because as a company, we tend to do things that are kind of actor focused. We generally pick material that is driven by character actors who really want to dig things apart.
And this is a bit of a tip of the hat to it's National Women's Month, International Women's Month March, and that slightly feminist but fun perspective.
It's more like woman hear me roar, not I hate men. It's not all it's all encompassing.
Correct me if I'm wrong. This was based on an actual cable television show, was it not? From
they
what I remember
performed.
On Kathy and Mo show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Kathy and Mo show. Yeah. And these are characters that they've come up with within that and they put it on paper and they
Mm-hmm. They did it on HBO for a while, right?
Yeah, okay. They had the show on HBO. I've never seen it. I never want. I think maybe in a few years I'll watch it. But I have a feeling if I watch it, I'll get a little tainted by it.
And in conjunction, not in conjunction, but I thought it was interesting too that if I'm attending as an audience member, I go to see the show. The gallery is also hosting something called Women's Work, an art exhibition, again showcasing women artists and all jewelry, prints, all kinds of sculpts.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a it, it's. It sounds just like a wonderful evening. A wonderful environment.
It's one of the benefits of collaborating with other art spaces, as you know. You're very familiar with theater companies combining with art galleries. It seems to be a really nice match, you know. And it seems like the audience enjoys, you know, the space. They're coming for a theater event, but they're coming into an art space, there's really a lot going on there, which is a lot of fun.
Now, this is in downtown for the listeners, downtown Allentown, on Hamilton.
Yep, it's on Hamilton Street, and it's just past 6th, but if you come in up 6th, there's a big parking lot behind the building, and anybody who's familiar with Crocodile Rock.
Yes.
It's the same.
Same side. 542 West Hamilton.
Yes.
And Suite 203.
Yes.
It's a beautiful space. Mm-hmm. But so is the show, I mean, it's going to be fun to do, but this is a real tour de force in a lot of ways. I mean, you're playing a lot of characters.
Yes.
It's like,
yes.
Talk about that a little bit, if you would.
That's my favorite, though. Okay. I love the worlds that these characters live in, and it changes every 10 minutes. You meet an angel, and then you meet. Oh, thank you. I was hitting the table. She was stopping me. For those of you who can't see,
that's my habit. Right. Stay away from that.
So you meet an angel 1 minute, and then you meet a kid who's leaving church the next minute. You know, you see so many different parts of life, and I love that. I love like just keeping it fresh and moving on and trying something new. It's almost like a sketch comedy show.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So it's...
Do you think some of them could say hello to us, Sam?
Could they really? No.
Chris,
are they here in the studio?
Do you think that Jeff could maybe... How are you feeling today?
Whatever. I used to raise Hobie cats, so that's pretty cool.
You hungry? You want to get something to eat?
Yeah, man. I'm a starving Marvin.
And then who else?
Thank you, Jeff. Who else is out there, incidentally?
What about Annette and Gina? You could watch a little.
You got good hair, Annette.
My hair is terrible. I know. You could tell that I'm not playing opposite.
What are you doing running around with them? It's pretty fun. I get to experience a lot of different people. And by the end, it's like, boo, my brain is gone.
I'm familiar with the script, but I've not read or seen it. Is there a kind of an arc to that you travel as that one actor going through the stories?
I can honestly say that you will take your own parallels from it. Mm-hmm. It doesn't force anything on you. Yeah. It's like you can go there and just watch it and have a good time, or you can take something from it. You know, it's hilarious, and that's kind of the main focus.
I would say it's commentary. You know, it's really it's more commentary than anything else on. And it's, you know, it has a kind of '90s sensibility to it, but it's. It's definitely these two women doing two things, having an amazingly fun time together, and at the same time commenting on their world and things that they think about.
Yeah.
I, of course, have never seen it, but I've read it. A play is never really as good reading it as it is watching it perform.
That's how I feel about books.
Yeah. But I think that I came to the conclusion that life is really the theme of the whole production.
Absolutely.
And really, it shows how truly funny the whole human race can really be if you really look at it.
Absolutely.
Josh, you've been in some pieces with Allentown Public Theater, playing a similar kind of role with a lot of quick changes, a lot of speed, a lot of this kind of tour de force. How is it to direct it?
It's really cool because I feel like I have a decent understanding and come at it. I come at as a director. I almost always come from an actor's perspective, just because I am an actor.
Yeah.
And I kind of understand what the actor needs to the process to get them to, you know, be able to play the things that we talk constantly about.
Yeah.
It's, you know, I really kind of get the rhythm of it, you know, how it has to flow, where the energy has to peak, where we're allowed to deflate it, you know, kind of, it's comedy, so it's really heavily dependent upon timing, and, you know, and picking your moments.
Mm-hmm.
And outside of that, I would say it's really refreshing and fun. I think Sam is actually the one who brought the play to me and introduced me to it.
Okay.
And I was immediately into the idea because we had just done two different productions with a cast of three males. We did Complete Works of William Shakespeare Abridged, and then we did Every Christmas Story Ever Told, and then some. Mm-hmm. And it was the three of us guys both time, and you know, it just made complete sense. It was like, well, here's a piece that celebrates women, and it's two female actresses doing something in a similar fashion. Yeah. In my opinion, even a better writing, though.
Right. Well, we're going to make sure we absolutely get there, and our listeners,
yes, please do.
I am sure after hearing this radio program that they will be going as well. We've been talking with Josh Neff, Allentown Public Theater Artistic Director, and Samantha Beadle.
Check out the website.
Check out the website. Yes, please do. And really, we want to say thank you to Steve Aronson, our magician of radio waves, for being right there with his finger on the go button, our technical engineer and our guardian angel of digital wave lengths.
Real quickly, quickly, dates for the production.
Oh, yes. March 22nd and 23rd, the 28th through the 30th, April 4th through the 6th. Those are all at 8 p.m. April 7th is our only matinee at 2 p.m. You can find out more information at www.allentownpublictheater.com.
Thank you very much for being here.
Thank you all.
Yay!